Y'all remember you received a little memo last week. I'm going to read the first two paragraphs of that. This is a bio on Kana. Has her Bachelor of Arts from Harding University, her Master's Divinity from Harding School of Theology in Memphis, Tennessee. She was born in Vences, currently lives on an island near Long Island, New York. She has preached in small churches, on podcasts, for college ministries, and at conferences. She has taught Bible studies in dorm rooms, on Zoom, in classroom, and has taught for all ages from toddlers to adults. She is currently serving as interim associate minister at West Islip Church of Christ in West Islip, New York. Following the pastor's major surgery, Kana has organized the worship service, preached, and taught Bible classes. She says her favorite part of serving is calling. Kana asked me to read the scripture that she's going to be talking about this morning. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than sparrows. Kana, it's yours.
Well, good morning, friends. It is truly such a gift for me to get to be with you. There were several attempts by multiple airlines to prevent me from arriving here, but the Lord prevailed and we're able to be together this morning. So let's pray really quickly before we get into this. Gracious God, we are confident of your presence among us. We know that you are with us at every moment. We ask that as we hear the words of your scripture and as we desire the presence of your Spirit, that you would continue to mold us and shape us in the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So when I was 6 years old, my family moved to Long Island, New York, about an hour and a half east of where we lived, towards Montauk, which is at the end of the island, was a park called the Elizabeth Morton National Wildlife Center. There were many enchanting elements of this park. The sandy path sort of wound through the really green forest, the quiet seashore at the end, at the trail, the bay beach that was generously welcoming every traveler. But the park was unique because you got the chance to feed the birds that lived there. You could bring your own bird seed within certain parameters, of course, and with some patience and a short walk, you could feed the birds. And as a child, this is like unquestionably the most magical opportunity I could imagine. So I would go a few times with my mother and my father and my sisters, and we would travel to this park. We would go past the park to a store, which was the closest one, to pick up the bird seed, and we would carry it with us, sometimes in bags and sometimes just stuffed in our pockets. And we would walk and stand in these clearings in the woods. The trees were rustling above us with the wind, and I would hold out my hands, cupped together with the wildlife refuge approved seeds in them, and you would wait. You had to stay as still as you could so you didn't scare the birds away. We would see several different types, like small songbirds or shy blue jays or even some sparrows. They were always curious and they would perch closer and closer until they finally braved the risk to get to the seeds. Can you imagine the small claws resting on the outer edge of your hand? A sparrow's average size is 6 inches, so maybe the size of your smartphone, but half the weight, kind of like a tennis ball resting gently in your hand. You can feel the soft down of their underbelly brushing against your skin as the birds would peck the seeds out of your hand. The tiny pricking feet as they shifted around the edge to make sure they could get as many seeds as possible in their mouths before they flew away to safety. So these birds of the air who do not sow or reap or stow away in barns were fed by their Heavenly Father and through three little girls. So sparrows primarily live near humans, but they can also live in some pretty extreme conditions. They've been known to breed 2,100 feet above the ground and on top of the Empire State Building and even below ground. They have a high tolerance for salt, and if there's no water accessible to them, they can eat berries in order to survive. Primarily, they're preyed upon by cats or birds of prey, but sometimes squirrels. Additionally, human activity, unsurprisingly, is threatening to them. Many sparrows are killed every year by cars or other vehicular traffic, though sometimes they get killed by things like the avian flu. Deforestation also presents a threat to these birds, as life is more difficult if they're living in a fully urban area. Their young often don't survive, and there's only a 25% chance for hatchlings to make it to full adulthood. It's also worth noting that sparrows have a high reliance on human interaction, but in places where humans live but there is no space for sparrows, no trees or plants, then the sparrows quickly die out. In fact, in Delhi, India, they recently went on the conservation list because there's too much urbanization and not enough green space. But humans have been known to live long-term at 16,000 feet above sea level, like in the Andes Mountains or in Tibet, and they have settlements that are built right at sea level or below because of dams and levees. They live in extreme temperatures, like where the average winter temperature might be 58 degrees below Fahrenheit or 87 degrees above Fahrenheit. Humans have been known to go without food for 40 to 60 days when they're striking for hunger. Though humans are not in the regular diet of any other animal on Earth, thank goodness for that, they are often killed by non-communicable diseases like heart disease or communicable diseases like respiratory infections and oftentimes road injuries. Humans thrive around other humans, but also don't do well when there is no green space. And as for these humans, there is no question that their world is in chaos. There's been a famine in the country of Yemen for over 5 years, and the government is actively keeping out outside aid. A virus, which we all know far too well, has swept across the globe, causing 200 million cases and 4 million human deaths. Many families and individuals are being evicted, even as we speak, and are unemployed and causing financial insecurity on an almost unfathomable scale. If you add this to the previous debt crisis that young people are experiencing, you have an absolute financial disaster. And that inequality is only getting worse, not better. And in addition, because of political instability and the culture of fear that we're all experiencing, misinformation, violence, and lies have grown, become commonplace, and many people are consumed by reactionary nastiness instead of care for one another. It seems like it gets harder and harder to survive. And this doesn't even consider the issues that might be in your house, in your home. Maybe you've recently graduated, but you're really uncertain about your future. Maybe you're worried because you want your family to vacation, but you want to go safely, or you don't know when you're gonna see a grandparent or a grandchild again. It might be that you've experienced great loneliness and isolation in recent days, but you don't really know how to even get out of it. Some of you or your friends are expecting children, but you're terrified to have a child brought into this world. Likely, your savings account, if you even had one in the first place, has gotten lower and lower and lower. Now is a time where we are experiencing a near universal feeling of fear. Too many things are happening. It's too much. It is too constant, and there seems to be no end. So let's return to Matthew's gospel and hear what Jesus has to say. Matthew chapter 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. So chapter 10 of Matthew's gospel focuses on Jesus' sending of the 12 disciples. And so as he does this, he tells them to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come. He tells them this means contending with the forces of evil, but he reminds them that God would not leave them alone to the stresses and threats of this world. And in the middle of the story, Jesus makes a statement that we heard in our reading, almost seemingly distracted from his topic. But Jesus, his words, carry a deeper message, both for his disciples and for us. Jesus may not have been an ornithologist studying birds in his spare time as a hobby, but anyone with some basic observational skills knows that a sparrow is not on top of the food chain. There are a lot of threats to sparrows, even at this time in history, apparently including being sold in the marketplace. When speaking about the sparrows, Jesus doesn't say These sparrows have nothing to worry about. There's always plenty of food. Their young always make it to adulthood. Their eggs never get crushed accidentally or stolen. And they always have shelter without threat from predators. Instead, Jesus pivots the conversation, focusing on the care that God has for all of God's creatures. Jesus is trying to get our attention with the seemingly insignificant sparrow, a bird that is so tiny a child can barely feel it, yet a creature so precious as to be the focus of God's concern. The life of these birds is almost irrelevant to his listeners, even at this time, which we know because they aren't camping out or protesting in the marketplace and counting every sparrow that gets sold. These birds weren't used to send messages, to hunt. They didn't sing very well. They didn't have any significant human contributions. Who cares about a sparrow? In fact, the Egyptian hieroglyph that looks like a sparrow means bad or narrow or small. Even in human language, a sparrow doesn't mean very much. But God is conscious of the life of the sparrow. God knows when any of them are harmed. God is attentive to the life of God's creation. God is aware of their sufferings and their circumstance and knows the things that threaten them. God sees when a sparrow is threatened by a larger bird, when their young are injured or killed. The person who sells the sparrows on the street doesn't know if this particular sparrow had a mate or how many clutches of eggs they hatched in the last few years. But God does. Not one sparrow struggles without God's knowing. God made the sparrow, and God cares for the sparrow. So in our passage, Jesus doesn't say to us, "You have nothing to worry about. You'll always have plenty of money. No suffering will ever enter your life. Your physical safety is promised no matter what, and you can spend as much money as you want without stress." Instead, Jesus reminds us that we are more than the sparrows to God. God's very image is present in humanity, and God's care for God's image bearers is very specific. If God cares for the little sparrow, how much more for God's child who bears the divine image, filled with the divine breath, the vessel of God's divine spirit? God knows your childhood pain, your deepest dreams, your greatest fears, your current concern. God knows that you went without a lot when you were young, and the fears and insecurities you still carry even now. God knows that you desire a better marriage, a healthier relationship with your children. God knows that you're afraid of being consumed by your anger or your greed. God knows how long you have been suffering through your chronic pain and has seen you awake on every sleepless night. God especially cares for God's people who are crying out in suffering and pain. The divine knows your circumstance. The Creator, aware of every cell in your body, your name written on the palm of God's hand, your Redeemer who knows and loves you. So, what does that mean for this church? What is the message of Jesus' message to the sparrows? I think it's one for us of worry and of comfort. To ignore the troubles in our homes, in our cities, our country, and our world is not only a misreading of the text, but I also think it's unholy. We are to consider the needs of others, and we are to be attentive to our world. And it's not surprising that this creates worry. The more crucial question is, how do we share our worry with God? And how do we allow God's comfort through the Holy Spirit to impact the way that we respond to our own worries? So, let's walk through this together. First, we should articulate the worry in our lives. This is a risk, a vulnerability, but a necessary one for every Christian believer. Maybe for you, this is writing it down, for those of you who are big journal people, or maybe you prefer speaking your feelings instead of writing them down. You can speak them aloud, to yourself, to a friend, to nature, or even just to God, whether it's formally in a prayer or just kind of as you go about your day. Naming our worry is the necessary first step. By identifying what we are worried about, we are better able to be honest with God and honest with ourselves. Because we know that we are brave enough to name that worry, we can begin to allow God to work in our circumstances not in spite of them. Next, I think we should acknowledge that we are struggling against odds that feel insurmountable, and that we want freedom from this crushing weight of worry and pain. To brush aside our fear demeans the compassion God has given us for ourselves and for one another, which mirrors God's own compassion. By this, we're following in Jesus' example in the garden when he spoke honestly to God about his deep desire to have the cup taken from him. False positivity about our worry and pain, or a failure to acknowledge this truth, is dishonest. We should keep in mind that being a human in the world sometimes means suffering, but suffering, struggle, and threat have never meant being alone or unheard, not with God. Once we've articulated our worry, we've acknowledged our fear, then we should ask for peace. The Holy Spirit is God's comforter, which Jesus tells us in John 14. We know that God is attentive to God's creation, as we saw in our text for today. And the Holy Spirit is God, which lets us know that God's Spirit is attentive to us and to our worry. God doesn't usually step in, make a grand gesture, solve all of the problems, and resolve every issue. But God always remains with us, which is the heart of God's incarnation in Jesus Christ. We do not always understand God's motive or God's actions, but we can always rest confidently in God's presence. Philippians 4 also talks about this. Verses 6 and 7 read, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The text tells us not to give in to worry, to make it a daily facet of our lives, but to see it honestly and to talk to God about it. Except now we're conscious just how deeply God loves us, because as much as God cares and knows the needs of the sparrow, God knows ours. So when we cry out against violence in utter anguish and pain, God is with us. When our lives are affected by injustice, God is with us. When we go hungry, God is with us. When our bank account is in the red, God is with us. When we suffer in sickness, God is with us. When we're unsure of our future, God is with us. When our faith feels fragile, God is with us. When we are overcome with worry, God is with us. It is not that we do not worry, as the text says, because there is nothing to worry about. It is that we do not allow worry to become a rhythm, a part of our lives, because we know God's presence and care for us. We know that God is not blind to our struggle, but offers us presence, comfort, and peace, even if we sit waiting in cages in the marketplace. Amen.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.